Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Pitch on the way, and Springer lifts this one out in a right center, fairly deep. It sends back Betts, still back at the wall, looking out. See you later! Into the Red Sox bullpen. A go-ahead two-run home run for George Springer, and the Astros lead it 2-1. Springer with his league-leading 17th home run of the year.
Hard hitting from New Britain, Springer. Popping one on the first pitch as the Astros try to snatch one here at Fenway.
Good morning, Acadiana. This is Raymond Parch III, and you're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's 24 hours of sports coverage free over the air. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. If you'd like to, you can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. We got a tremendous Friday show lined up for you today. Third hour, we'll be talking to not one but two guests. We'll have our good friend Tyler Nunes from Tiger Rag giving us the latest on LSU basketball. They had an SEC teleconference with the coaches yesterday. Will Wade had some things to say. Tyler will help us break all that down in hour number three. We'll also be talking to Mike Gegenheimer of the HOMA today. Manning Passing Academy. That's right. Peyton, Eli, Cooper, Archie, and dozens of some of the top quarterbacks across the country will be in HOMA for this weekend for the Manning Passing Academy. Mike will give us the lowdown on that. And, of course, in hour number two, we'll have our boy Barry Hurstis from the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us every Friday, helping us give us the latest updates on all things New Orleans Saints. Plus, Rant of the Week, RPOs with RP3 as well. But we're going to start off today's show talking Major League Baseball All-Star. Nice. Got a little smash mouth. I like that. The starters were announced yesterday. We had a brief, like, 40-hour period where you could vote online. Cody and I talked about voting during the show yesterday for your favorite, or rather, top vote getters. Usually had about at least three options at all the position players. You did not vote for pitchers. But the Astros, who have won 50 games, got themselves three players that will have been named starters for the Midsummer Classic held this year at Progressive Field there in lovely Cleveland. Alex Bregman, who's going to be starting at third, even though he's played a good portion of this season at shortstop, former LSU Tiger. Michael Brantley, the great, terrific free agent pickup for the Astros. Got him on the cheap. He had been banged up a little bit. He's having a tremendous season, hitting well over 300. He gets in there as well, named as a starter. And the man that you just heard on the clip bringing us into today's show, Springer Dinger himself. George Springer. Three starters. Not bad for the 50-win team. And that's not to say that they won't have additional guys added to the all-star roster. You're going to have some players that are not going to play because due to injury, so they'll back out. And then, obviously, you'll put together your pitching staff. So you still have an opportunity. You would anticipate Verlander's going to be in there. And others. But right now, three starters for the position players. They've tweaked the all-star voting process a little bit. You can still vote online, and then they get you a group, a ballot, essentially, of starters, and then the fans can vote on that. Obviously, the rest of the guys that were put up were more than likely to fill out the rest of the all-star teams. So Bregman, Springer, Brantley have been elected to start the 2019 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. This is the second time in franchise history for the Stros that they will have three position players start the All-Star Game. The first time was back in 2017 when second baseman Jose Altuve, during his MVP season, shortstop Carlos Carrera, and center fielder Springer started in the American League's 2-1 win over the National League in Miami. This year's All-Star Game will be played on Tuesday, July the 9th at 6:30 p.m. Central Time and will be televised on Fox. Once again, this is part of that new process. Bregman, Springer, Brantley were voted into the All-Star Game as starters by the fans as this new, quote, starters election, end quote, process. A 28-hour online voting period that featured three finalists at each position and then the top nine outfielders. Bregman got in by topping Kansas City's Hunter Dozier and New York's Gio Urshela for the top spot among third basemen in the American League. This will mark Bregman's second career All-Star game and his first career All-Star start. He was reserved last year but ended up being named All-Star Game MVP, the first in Astros history, after hitting a go-ahead home run in the 10th inning in the AL's 8-6 victory. Bregman entered Thursday's slate of games in the top five among American League players in walks, tied for second with 59, home runs, tied for third with 22, on-base percentage fourth, and OPS fourth. If it wouldn't be for a certain Los Angeles of Anaheim County Credit Union Angel player, Bregman would likely be the leading candidate for American League MVP this year. Springer and Brantley finished second and third, respectively, in voting among the nine outfield finalists, trailing only, of course, Mike Trout of the Angels. The duo will become the first pair of Astros outfielders to ever start the same All-Star game. The last Major League Baseball team to have two of its outfielders start the same All-Star game was 2016, when the Red Sox had Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. Springer has 18 home runs on the season, 44 RBIs, is posting career best numbers in batting average, 316, on base percentage, 393, slugging over 6.5, OPS over 1.0. Brantley, meanwhile, is batting 316 as well. That's weird that both of them have the same average. 11 home runs, 43 RBIs, after playing 10 seasons with the Indians before signing with the Astros. So he's going back to the place where he played for a decade, and they let him walk. And he's having a career year and helping the Astros to 50 wins. Springer, though, is interesting. He had such a torrid start to the season, and then he suffered the hammy injury and missed nearly a month. Had just recently got called up from his rehab assignment in AA Corpus Christi and rejoined the team just this week, yet he still got voted in to the All-Star game. This is what Springer Dinger had to say about the injury and about still becoming an All-Star starter for the American League.
Just in a month of the season, what does that say to you?
It's an honor, you know, to miss a lot of time and you know to still get that support from the fans is it's awesome to me. You know, I don't think they know how much that means to me. So, you know, thank you to everybody, and you know, I'll honor that for sure, and enjoy the day.
You think about getting a huge number of votes across the country, not just from Astros fans.
Again, it's awesome. You know, I'm very, very humbled by it. You know, to again, I know I missed a lot of time and all that, but I'm honored to go. I'm honored to represent Houston, and you know, again, thank you.
Very low key cat. You wouldn't think that by the way he blasts leadoff home runs. He's a high-energy guy out in the field, but very kind of low-key. But a lot of those Astro players are that way. So the Astro fans, they came out, man, because there was plenty of them on the ballot. But they showed up. Bregman now, back-to-back years, making the All-Star game. First year as a starter. And we've said it before, he is really emerging as the face of that franchise, which is weird to say because Jose Altuve is very much has served as the face of that franchise, and they have other big-name guys on that team. Justin Verlander comes to mind. Even Carlos Carrera. But Bregman is just he's only been in the league, what, 3 years? He was part of the World Series team, is a rookie for the World Series team, I do believe. All-Star reserve his second year. Now an All-Star starter his third year. That's quite the start to a career. Expect more Astros, though, to be voted in or to make the roster. Astros did lead with three starters. I'd expect other guys, if they want to be there. Altuve was part of the top three vote-getters in the position for the position players, so maybe he's going to be able to get in there. You know, Carlos Carrera was also on that list, but Carlos is still dealing with an injury, so he won't even be able to participate in the All-Star game festivities. So we'll be interested to see what happens there. Top vote getter, not surprising, was Mike Trout. The Braves, Cubs, and Yankees also had multiple starters as well. But I'll give you a quick rundown of your starters here for the All-Star game before we head to break. In the American League, your starting catcher is going to be Gary Sanchez of the Yankees. He beat out James McCann and Robinson Chirinos of the Astros. First base will be Carlos Santana of the Indians. Second base will be DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees, former Tiger. Jose Altuve was a distant third there in the voting at second base. Shortstop was Jorge Polanco of the Twins. They're having a tremendous year. Carlos Carrera was a distant third in that. Breggs, of course, at third. That was not close. He got 49.1% of the vote of the three guys. Outfield, Springer, Brantley, and, of course, Mike Trout. Aaron Judge, a distant fourth place there. And Mookie Betts. Both of those guys will be on the roster. Josh Reddick came in last there, the nine guys. And designated hitter will be Hunter Pence of the Rangers. National League, your catcher is Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, beating out my Brian McCann. I got beef. First base will be Freddie Freeman of the Braves.
Beating out my Anthony Rizzo.
So it makes it even.
I got beef.
Second base will be Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks. Shortstop will be Javier Baez of Cody's Chicago Cubs. Third base will be Nolan Arondo of the Rockies. Outfield, Christian Yelich, who's leading probably the MVP race. Cody Bellinger, who's right there with him, of the Dodgers. And then Ronald Acuna Jr. of my Bravos. That's right. Got to give the young man some love. And, of course, no DH for the National League. We'll keep you abreast of any other changes to the All-Star teams. They'll be filling out the rosters in the next week or so. And as soon as that happens, we'll let you know if any more Stros or former LSU Tigers have been selected. Speaking of Tigers, we're going to get into that. I briefly touched on it, but a pair of former Tigers that played for Paul Menary found themselves named All-Star Game Starters. We'll dive into that next, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. You can also find us on the simulcast Stadium Network 32.1. That's 24 hours of sports coverage, live and free over the air. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We started off today's show talking about Major League Baseball All-Star Game starters. The Astros got not one, but two, but three guys named starters for the Midsummer Classic that's going to be held in Cleveland this year at Progressive Field. Bregman, Brantley, Springer. But with Bregman's selection, it also ties into the state here, as LSU had not one but two former stars named starters for the All-Star Game. Joining Bregman is DJ LeMahieu, who now plays for the New York Yankees, former All-Star for the Colorado Rockies. He got signed in the offseason this year, and he's been an absolute stud for the Pinstripers. Both were selected as starters for the American League team, Bregman at third, DJ LeMahieu also in the infield. It marks the fifth consecutive year in which a former LSU player has been chosen for the annual Midsummer Classic. LeMahieu is in his first season with the Yankees. He leads the American League with a .336 batting average and will get the start at second base. Bregman, who leads the Houston Astros in home runs and RBIs, will serve as the AL's starting third baseman. This will be LeMahieu's third All-Star Game appearance, but his first as a Yankee. He was a National League All-Star both in 2015 and 17 as a member of the Colorado Rockies. He's also won three Gold Gloves and one Major League batting title during his nine-year big league career. Damn, he's already been in the big leagues 9 years now? Doesn't seem that long ago that he was playing at LSU. Bregman, as I stated earlier, is representing the Astros in the All-Star Game for the second straight season. He hit the game-running homer in last season's game and was named the game's MVP. LeMahieu, who's originally from Michigan, played at LSU in 2008 and 2009 and signed with the Chicago Cubs after he was selected in the second round of the 09 Major League Baseball draft. Cody, how'd y'all let LeMahieu go? Your Cubbies? Was that part of a package deal on the rebuild?
It had to have been because, I mean, it sucks because I would obviously love to have seen DJ LeMahieu playing middle infield and being an all-star for my team, but, I mean, our second baseman's still not bad.
Yeah,
it just could be worse.
Well, didn't they come up around the same time?
Oh, that I would have to look up. I'm not certain on the top of my head on that.
Yeah, because I don't remember LeMahieu at all with the Cubs. I only remember him coming up being a Rocky.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I guess he made it to the majors with the Cubs, but I couldn't tell you if he ever did anything significant.
He could also be a late bloomer.
Well, he won that batting title in Colorado by, like, sitting out the last two games of the season.
I remember that now that
which
you
is
say
awesome.
That.
Which is like, you know, you want to win the award. Nice do what you got to do to win the award. But he had, like, 1 point better batting average than whoever the guy was in second place. And so DJ was like, I'm not going to play. I'm just not going to do it.
I got a hammy.
You're right. A little sore today, Coach.
I need some treatment. I can't do anything. Nice. He was a second-round pick of the 09 Major League Baseball draft by the Cubs. He only played two seasons at LSU, but he was quite productive. He hit .344 during those 2 years with 24 doubles, 11 home runs, and 87 RBIs. He was named to the 2009 College World Series All-Tournament team, when he batted 444 during the Tigers' drive to the national championship. So, that's good. Bregman, a native of New Mexico, of course, played at LSU from 2013 through 15. He helped lead the Tigers to a pair of College World Series appearances. Bregman was taken with the number 2 overall selection by the Astros in the 15 draft. He was a 2-time first-team All-American at LSU. He started 196 games for the Tigers at shortstop, batting .337 with 21 home runs and 148 RBIs, 66 stolen bases. He was also named the 2013 National Freshman of the Year and a finalist for the Golden Spikes Award. So a pair of Tigers will be starting in the infield for the American League. He did, going back to LeMahieu, he did play for the Cubs. His rookie season was 2011.
In anything significant?
Let's see.
Probably a slow start, I'll say, because I don't remember.
He began the 2011 season in Double A with the Tennessee Smokies. He promoted him at the end of May when Jeff Baker was placed on the DL. Let's see. Now the IL.
I remember Jeff Baker.
Nice. Oh, he only stayed up with the Cubs briefly. Then they demoted him down to Iowa, their AAA club in the Pacific Coast League. And then he returned to the major leagues in September. So he briefly played that rookie year.
And then he was a September call-up.
And in December, the Cubs traded LeMahieu and Tyler Colvin to the Rockies for Casey Weathers and Ian Stewart.
Oh, the Ian Stewart thing that worked out so well. Not. Yeah.
Hey, it ended up.
I was like, what am I complaining about? We got a World Series.
Yeah, you got a World Series championship. That's
I
all
apologize. Harry Carey, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Harry. I'm sorry. Oh. So congratulations to the pair of the former Tigers. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, UL makes significant changes to its concession prices, and you're going to like it. You're listening to KDN Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back. You're listening to KDN Sports Station 103.7 The Game. If you'd like to give us a call, you can. Pick up the phone. Dial 337-706-0111. That's the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Coming up, hour number 2, my rant of the week. You're not going to want to miss it. As well as the always entertaining RPOs with RP3. And, of course, Barry Herstis from Saints News Network will be joining us as well. That's all coming up, hour number 2 of today's show. But I want to talk about something that should help to drastically increase attendance at Cajun Field this fall, ladies and gentlemen. And bravo to the University of Louisiana, Dr. Brian Maggard, and everyone else involved in this decision. Because this is no better way to describe it as this is freaking awesome. UL Athletics announces a fan-friendly price change to their concessions. If you haven't heard, here you go. Hot dogs, only a dollar. Popcorn, only a dollar. Fried potato chips, only a dollar. Cheese quesadilla, $2. Hamburger cheeseburger, only $3. Pretzel, $3. Frito chili pie, $3. An Icy's, only $3. Cheese nachos, $3. And a large popcorn, $3. But I'm not done. About to give you the prices on the stuff that you really want to know about. And no, I'm not talking about the bottled water, which is only $2. Your 20-ounce fountain soda, $2. That's it. Oh, and the one that's going to make you real happy, Acadiana, 16-ounce domestic can of beer is only going to cost you $2. Say what? $2 for a 16-ounce domestic can of beer at Cajun Field? Where do I sign up? That is your fan favorite concession pricing. Your premium concessions items pricing. If you want to get a 16-ounce craft can of beer, it's only going to cost you $4. Domestic draft, $4. A premium hot dog, $4, and everything else. Boudin balls with some dip is $7. So there's some more higher-end items that are going to be on the concession list that you're going to have to fork over a little cash for, obviously. But I can go watch the Raging Cajuns this fall. Get myself a ticket, which is always affordable. And then I can put down $10. I can bring me just a crisp $10 bill to spend on concessions. And this is what I can get for my $10 bill at the concession stand. I can get me 2 hot dogs, 3 beers, and a bag of popcorn and a bag of potato chips. I can get all that for $10. $10. That's it. Fan-friendly concessions menu. They made the announcement yesterday that the athletic department is all about continuing to focus on providing an outstanding in-game experience to all Raging Cajuns fans. Not only will this be for Cajun Field, supporters of the soccer team and volleyball programs will be the first to experience the fan-friendly pricing structure this season. At Louisiana's Fan Fest at Russo Park, ahead of home football games, the specialty pricing will be available as the pregame festivities take place. As I also mentioned, the premium concessions, those are new items. Crawfish nachos, that's a new item. Po' boys, jambalaya, and shrimp and grits. Those you have to pay a little bit more for. So if you want a little bit more of that taste of Acadiana, there, when you go to a game at a sporting event held by UL, you can have that as well. But you got to love the fan favorite concession prices. Cody Schutz, what do you think about this? You are a UL alum. How do you feel about this new fan favorite concession pricing?
Well, obviously, it's incredible. When you were listing off the prices there, I was trying not to fall out of my chair. It was like when you hit that $1 hot dog, you started right there. I was like, man, because I can't tell you how many times I've been to a UL game, and now I can see myself enjoying a couple of those $2 cans of domestic beer and then being not caring that, like, yes, I will now eat a $1 hot dog.
I like that.
But, you know, that's exactly how it works. Like, you get in there and you spend $6 on a handful of beers. You finish those, you know, and it's halftime or whatever have you, and you're like, oh, man, I'm a little munchy. I could eat something. You're like, oh, I got a dollar here. Let me go get a hot dog. Like, not like, you know, a pack of sunflower seeds or whatever, or some M&Ms. No, you get a hot dog for a dollar. You can't really complain.
$10 can get you 3 beers and 4 hot dogs.
That's a win all day. That's a win all day.
All day.
Now, we did have Tim call in, and he had a pretty good question and a pretty valid point as well. So kind of a twofold thing here from our guy Tim. First, he's wondering if there's anything in this release or whatever talking about, is this implemented forever now? Does it have any sort of time stamp put on it for how long it's going to last?
This is just going to be the new standard.
And see, and then I that's what I figured the answer to that question was. But then Tim had a point that I kind of agree with, and to be honest, I really agree with. Attendance for UL games has been down. Obviously.
Attendance in college football, well, period, has been down.
But specifically for UL, it's been down as of late.
Yes, last few seasons.
This is a move to try to get more people in the seats.
That's correct.
But if it, let's say that it doesn't necessarily work as well as the plan may seem. And so you've got...
So Tim's trying to rain on the parade.
No. He's got a good point. If you've got lower concession prices and still only, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people at the game, you went from just losing money with these Cajun football games to hemorrhaging money.
Correct.
With these Cajun football games. So that, I think Tim's point is that if it doesn't work, if it doesn't get butts in the seats, these lower concession prices, then it won't stick around very long. And I tend to agree with that. If we're halfway through football season and the attendance is still very, very, very low.
It's still under 10,000, right.
They're going to stop giving away concessions.
But that's why they're also doing the Fan Fest thing for every home game. That'll be part of that, too.
And hopefully that'll get people
to get
seats,
people
yeah.
To get people to come out for the games. You reduce the price in concessions. You're essentially going to, let's be honest, probably lose money on your concessions, the amount that you take home. But if you can make it up with tickets and getting butts into the seats. And here's the other thing. They may, you know, if you get more people there, they'll spend more money at the concession. So maybe it's not, maybe it's more of a wash than we think. But this is the thing. Look, it's 2019, so you got to come up with ways to entice people to come to the stadium, whether you're UL or anyone else. That's why you're going to have these fan fests. You're going to have all this interactive stuff. It's going to be more than it's. You have to give people nowadays more than just the football game, Cody. Right? You have to give them something else. You have to give them some lanyap, so to speak, to entice them to leave the comfort of their home, of their nice air-conditioned home. So many people these days already have man caves. And they already have a great setup, the big-screen television, where they can watch the Raging Cajuns stream it right onto their TV. So how do you get them out there? Well, you make it a fun experience. You have your fan fest prior to the game. So you get people there early, and then you can funnel those people out of the fan fest into the stadium. Oh, and while you're at the stadium, yeah, we know you like tailgating, but hey, you know what? We got you covered there too. Come in, get a couple of 16-ounce beers for only a couple of bucks. Now you can have a good time. Now, this is something that you can do at a place like UL or, say, McNeese or Southeastern Louisiana.
Well, the Atlanta Falcons are trying it.
You cannot do this at Tiger Stadium.
Well, you can't give away $2 beers.
No, I mean, can you imagine?
No.
Now, first of all, the SEC is finally embracing, and maybe this is part of it too for UL, is like, hey, the SEC is now going to allow alcohol sales inside the stadium, inside their stadiums. It's based on a school-by-school basis. We know LSU's already said that they're going to probably come out and be one of the first, even though they're not the first. So, you know, that's that you lose fans a lot of times because they'll go tailgating at Tiger Stadium. Some of your own alumni, that this is kind of a way to do that. But yeah, you could never do this at Tiger Stadium, right? Because do you really want 100,000 drunk people? No. Unruly Tiger fans? No. I don't even think Tiger fans want that. But for UL, this makes a ton of sense. And look, yeah, they're going to sell a lot of those $1 hot dogs and $1 things of popcorn and the $2 domestic cans of beer, okay? But don't get it twisted. You're going to have people that are going to come there and they're going to get the craft beer, the domestic draft beer, the smoked sausage, hamburger pull boys, the boudin balls, the shrimp and grits too, right? So you're going to make money on those concession items, those premium concession items. But all in all, tremendous decision by UL to help generate interest to come out to the Cajun Field. Because we talked about it on the air before. A couple seasons ago, they had a losing season, and attendance started to wane. Well, attendance started to wane the last couple years of Mark Hudspeth's career. But last year, new leadership, changing the culture, having a winning season, winning their own division, and they still struggled with attendance. So maybe it has to do with less with the product that you put out on the field, Cody, and more about the game day experience. And we're starting to see that because, hell, we saw fans leave early at Tiger Stadium last year. We saw fans leave early in Alabama, so much so that Nick Saban got all angry about it. This is happening to the big-time programs, too, where they're feeling it a little bit. And the smaller-tier programs, like a UL, like Louisiana Tech, are having to come up with ways to get people to come out to their ball games. And what better way to do that than to create these fan fest atmospheres and to do this terrific concession pricing that allows people to come out and not have to spend a fortune? Because that's the other thing. A lot of people are still connected to the oil field, and that's a bit of a struggle still. So people just don't have laying around money. to go drop $100 to go watch a college football game with the ticket pricing and concessions. This allows the blue-collar people of Acadiana, your hardworking folks, to be able to still go and catch the Raging Cajuns and do it on a budget and take the whole family or go with some friends or whatever it might be. Make it more affordable. More people will come. Plain and simple. So bravo to UL for being proactive when it comes to these concession prices. I love it, and I'm excited about it. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll wrap up hour number one right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. You can also catch us on the simulcast Stadium Network 32.1. That's free over-the-air, 24-hour sports coverage. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Led off today's show talking about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Starters were announced last night. Three Houston Astros got on there. Michael Brantley, the pickup from the Cleveland Indians. How great is that he gets to go play in an All-Star Game in the stadium of his former team that he spent a decade with? Alex Bregman and Springer Dinger himself, George Springer. Two LSU Tigers, former LSU Tigers, were also named starters, including, obviously, Bregman, but then DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. We also talked about the terrific decision. I'm just going to applaud it once again. Cody and I applaud it. UL's decision to make family-friendly or fan-friendly concession prices, $1 hot dogs, $2 cold beers. If you're not a drinker, you can also have a $2 soda for their home events. It's a terrific way to get people out to go see a game. But I want to wrap up hour number one of today's show talking a little bit of golf with you. And you're like, Ray, why are you doing that? We tune in every Tuesday from 9 to 10 for Chip Shots with Rob Spires, brought to you by Farm to Alley Golf Club and GolfBalls.com Retail Center, to get our golf coverage. Oh, I know, but this is worth of note. Louisiana's own David Toms opened up his defense of the U.S. Senior Open there in South Bend, Indiana, at the Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, by shooting an 8-under 62. The Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer and former PGA Tour major champion, one of the best to ever do it out of the state of Louisiana, won the U.S. Senior Open last year. He's trying to defend his title. He did set a U.S. Senior Open record yesterday with 10 birdies, finishing with four in a row for a 29 on the back nine. I'll say it again. This is the Senior Tour. He had a record 10 birdies in his opening round, finishing with four in a row. He shot a 29 on the back nine of a U.S. Senior Tour major championship, the U.S. Senior Open. He's joined atop the leaderboard by Steve Stricker, who made his U.S. Senior Open debut by dropping in an eagle on the 17th hole for also an 8-under 62 to share the lead with David Toms. I don't care if it is the Senior Tour, and obviously the length of the course is not as much as it would be on the PGA Tour. It's still a challenge. It's still professional golf. And I don't care if it is the Senior Tour. When you shoot a 29 on the back nine of any tournament, it's worth noting. We'll see if David Toms can defend his U.S. Senior Open championship. Also be interesting to see if Warren Golf Course there at Notre Dame, yes, the Notre Dame, as in the university, will continue to play as soft as it did yesterday. You would think as the weekend goes along that it's going to get a little bit firmer and it's going to play a little bit faster. But we'll definitely be diving in on the U.S. Senior Open on next week's Chip Shots with Rob Spires right here on 103.7 The Game. Cody, have you ever come close to shooting a 29 on a back nine or a front nine or any nine?
Putt-putt, yes.
That's my man. That's my man right there. Putt-putt.
I learned from the internet just now.
Interwebs?
Sort of related to golf, not really related
is it,
to golf.
Is it the dark web? Did you go venture into the dark web? Because I'm told that's scary.
This is the regular old internets, but it was on this date, to steal a gimmick. On this date, June 28th, 1998. You want to take a stab at what happened on this date in 1998? It is, I will give you a hint. It is WWE related, and it is one of the most recognizable moments in WWE history. And it ends with a dude having a nose hanging through, having a tooth hanging through his nose.
I'm scared and excited all at the same time. I have no idea.
We're discussing Undertaker throwing Mankind off the top of Hell in a Cell through the announce table, and then also choke slamming him through the cell onto the mat below. That happened on this day.
And his tooth went through his nose?
Yeah, when Mick Foley hit the mat, because he wasn't supposed to. The throwing off the side through the announce table was supposed to happen. Going through Hell in a Cell to hit in the ring, that was not supposed to happen. When he hit the ring, so much force, his teeth drove up into his lip and then out his neck. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Wrestling's fake. Ow. Just saying.
Ow.
But that happened on this day, and that is on the Mothership's website. That's how big of a deal this is.
Nice. Nice. Ken, is there any possible way that you and your 20 by 20 podcast member talked about that in the latest podcast, which is available right now,
by the way? We didn't because we suck.
But you should go check out Cody and Clint's podcast regardless. When we come back, hour number two of RP3 and Company. We'll start it off with my rant of the week right here on Acadiana Sports Station.
Your family, great TV.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me thanks draft or two, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk through the airport with that belt.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's 24 hours of sports coverage free over the air. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Coming up this hour, we'll talk to our boy Barry Herstis of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. We're going to talk all things Who Dat related with our boy Barry. That's coming up at 7:32. First hour, we led off talking about Major League Baseball All-Star Game starters being announced. The Astros put three on the American League team. Alex Bregman at third base, Michael Brantley, and George Springer in the outfield. Also, two LSU former LSU stars, also will be starters in the Midsummer Classic held in Cleveland this year. In addition to Alex Bregman, there is DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. So you're starting second baseman and you're starting third baseman for the American League at the Midsummer Classic will be former Tigers. We also discussed in the first hour UL making the bold decision and a great decision of making more fan-friendly prices for their concessions, $2 beers, $1 hot dogs, to help drive people into Cajun Field this fall for the football games. Tremendous decision on their part. We discussed that also in the first hour. But it's hour number two, and this is how we do it every Friday with hour number two. It's my rant of the week.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now! Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
Tomorrow will mark 1 month. 1 month since the four-year-old girl at a Houston Astros game versus the Chicago Cubs was belted in the skull with a scorching foul ball. It was one of the more horrific things you will see at a game. I was actually at the game. You could hear the ball hit her. And in the aftermath of that, we saw Albert Omara, the Cubs center fielder who hit the foul ball. He automatically saw it hit her. He had to be held by teammates and by a security guard when he later asked about the condition of the girl, because he saw the impact. He saw the ball come off his bat, and he watched it, and he saw it hit the little girl who was sitting on someone's lap there watching that Houston Astros game just right beyond the dugout. That's been a month. And yet we're still waiting on Major League Baseball to step up and do something about it. Netting should be, it's a no-brainer here, should be extended down each side of the field, past the dugouts. Right now, it started in 2018, where all the Major League Baseball clubs extended their netting that was traditionally right behind home plate. They extended it past the dugouts because of the rash of injuries from scorching foul balls hitting fans in the stands. Don't forget, we had a woman die at a Dodgers game last year, or now 2 years ago, by being hit by a foul ball. 2018, all 30 Major League Baseball clubs expanded their protected netting to at least the end of the dugouts. But it's not enough. It's obviously not enough, because we continue having fans being injured. We had a woman taken off on a stretcher at a Dodgers game earlier this week. It's becoming quite dangerous to go watch a Major League Baseball game in person. To the Astros' credit, they are conducting a study regarding extra netting after the season, and they were also one of the first teams to expand netting to the end of the dugouts back in 2017 before it became policy instructed by Major League Baseball. But now we are at three clubs that have now made the decision this year in the aftermath of that four-year-old child being hit by a foul ball, smashed in the head by a foul ball on the third baseline. The Chicago White Sox have come out and said that they're going to extend the netting to the foul poles. The Washington Nationals have said that, and the Los Angeles Dodgers have also come out and now have said that as well. So that's three of your 30 teams that have come out and said that they're going to do this on their own. Without the backing or approval of Major League Baseball, they're going to foot the bill by it, and they're going to do it. Now, in all those cases, the netting is going to be different. It's going to be more see-through. It's not going to be the same netting that you have behind the home plate, so it won't obstruct the view as much. The Nationals are actually going to be doing this during the All-Star break. They're not even waiting to the end of the season. The Washington Nationals are like, we're doing this right now. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said the safety issues would be best addressed during the offseason. Really? Is it really that hard to figure out that you need to expand the netting at your baseball facilities, at your ballparks across the country? It's not that hard. Putting up the netting is not that expensive. If the Nationals, who have proven to be not the best well-run franchise, if they can come up with a way to put up extra netting during the All-Star break, what are you waiting for? Why do you need additional studies? Why do you need to have a brain trust to figure this out? You take the netting that you have, you expand it. I understand the argument that that you can't do it universally because every ballpark is different. Then tell the ballparks to come up with a way to expand the netting themselves. Either expand it all the way down to the foul poles or halfway in between the dugout and the foul pole. This is not hard. Once again, earlier this week, June 23rd, a young woman was hit by a foul ball and had to be taken away on a stretcher at a Dodgers game. Cody Bellinger said that afterwards, I saw it literally hit her face. This is not only dangerous for the fans, it's also impacting the players. I was at that Astros game. The Cubs center fielder still had a bat to do. He could barely have enough motivation to swing his bat. He was that devastated by watching the little girl get smashed by a damn ball in her head. This is not a difficult decision. It just isn't. You don't have to go like some ballparks do in Japan and have netting all around the whole damn thing. You don't have to do that, but at least expand it. And similar instances have occurred over the recent years at Comerica Park in Detroit, Yankee Stadium in New York City. Bloomberg Statistical Analysis in 2017 stated more than 1,700 spectators are injured each year at ballparks by foul balls. 1,700. I get it. Snagging a foul ball is a cherished experience. I've never been able to do it. I've always wanted to. Every time a foul ball comes in my direction, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to grab it. Now, I'm not going to be a bag and knock over someone else to do it, but I've always wanted to catch a foul ball. And here's the thing. The players are behind this. They have supported this. You've heard guys like Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs say he wants to see netting everywhere. The players want this. They want the fans to be protected. It's 2019. Are you telling me we don't have the technology to have netting that you can easily be able to pull down and pull back up? Pull it down after batting practice. That way the fans, the young fans, can see the players, maybe get some autographs. And right before game time, you have part of your grounds crew go up there and just pull up the nets. Or have it automated where it pulls up. It's not that difficult. The players want this. Fans want to be protected as well. The Major League Baseball Players Association has twice proposed in collective bargaining back in 2007 and 2012 to expand the netting from foul pole to foul pole. The Players Association wants this done. The owners haven't done it yet. And their argument is it obstructs the fans' view. It obstructs, you know, it interrupts the fan experience. What do you think a fan wants more? To have their view obstructed slightly by some netting or to get hit in the face by a foul ball? I'm going to say I have my view obstructed. And so would most people with common sense. I understand also the argument that was being made and was made by trolls a month ago at that Cubs-Astros game where the small child got hit in the head. It says on the back of the tickets that, you know, the fan assumes risk of where they're sitting. And that's true. That's been in place since the early 1900s. When you go to a Major League Baseball ballpark on an official ticket, it will state it on there as that you sit at your own risk. That's very true. And there's also the other notion, well, we didn't have to have all that netting and all that expanded netting back in the day, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's very true. But let me point out something that's changed, and that's the modern athlete. Bryce Harper is 6'3", 220 pounds, all muscle. Aaron Judge is 6'7", 282 pounds, mostly muscle. Chris Bryant is 6'5", 230, mostly muscle. Those are three of your best power hitters in the game today. I'm going to give you three Hall of Famers that were three of the greatest power hitters of all time. Mickey Mantle was only 6 foot tall, 198. Willie Mays was only 5'11", 180 pounds. And Babe Ruth, who we imagine as this big, massive, hulking man, big, fat guy, built like RP3, who's talking right now, 6'2", 220 pounds. The athletes are bigger and stronger. They hit the ball with more velocity. The ball leaves the bat quicker. You cannot react as quickly. Reacting to a foul ball hit by Babe Ruth back in the 1920s and 1930s is not the same as hitting one off the bat of Aaron Judge right now. The technology with the bats and the balls have changed the game, and these guys are bigger and stronger and faster, and the ball leaves their bat far quicker, and you cannot even react as much as you used to. This is a no-brainer. How many more people have to be carried out on stretchers? How many more people, how many small children have to be suffering brain seizure and bleeding on the brain like the young girl did at the Astros game? How many more of that is it going to take? The attorney for the family of the girl finally released a statement on Wednesday of this week stating that the child suffered a skull fracture, subdural bleeding, and a seizure for being at a damn baseball game. Come on, man. This is simple. Expand the netting. It's a no-brainer. Don't be moronic. Protect the people that come and support your team. It's not that hard. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll do RPOs with RP3 right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Give us a call if you'd like. ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We'll try to fit you in this hour. We got two guests coming up in hour number three, but we'll try to fit you in. If you got something on your mind, feel free to give us a call. But right now, it's time for RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho.
Shotgun formation. Cody snaps the questions.
Dre.
And RP3 makes the reads. This is RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho.
All right, Raymond, I got a couple of questions, actually a few questions.
Blue poncho!
Here for you. I'm going to run through them, then when we get to the end, I'm going to ask you the same question every time, RPO, and you're either going to run with that, you're going to pass on it, or you're going to take an option to maybe wait and see what's going to happen.
And you know what, Cody? In weeks past, I've kind of and haven't been firm with my conviction
okay.
on running, passing, or optioning, but I guarantee you right now, right here, live on the air, I'm going to do it with conviction today, brother.
Taking a stance, I like it. Well, you should know, or at least have a good guess, that I'm going to start with the U.S. Women's National Team. A little Women's World Cup talk, Raymond.
The biggest fan in the state of Louisiana for the Women's National Team right here, Cody Schutz.
I'm flattered. They will be taking on France today at 2 p.m. That is in the World Cup quarterfinals. France, of course, is the host country, so it's going to be a just raucous crowd. United States is always well represented. France, it's home for them, so it's going to be a fun one to watch. Many of the experts, Lexi Lawless and the such, are saying that the winner of this game will go on to win the whole thing. The winner of the World Cup will come out of this quarterfinal matchup. The USA has been facing tougher and tougher opponents as the World Cup goes on. They've been scoring less goals as we progress as well. Needed penalty kicks, like we talked about, to score both of their goals against Spain.
And Alex Morgan is kind of
a little banged up.
Disappeared, and she's banged up. Yep.
So what I've got for you now is a little agree or disagree, sort of. RPO on the winner of this game going on to win the whole thing. Basically, RPO is this that game, USA and France.
I'm going to run with that.
I think so, too.
I'm going to run with that all day long. U.S. is the best team in the whole tournament.
Yeah, number one.
Number one. So if they win, they're obviously
going to continue to be favored.
They're going to continue to be favored, and this may be their toughest competition that they face in the whole tournament. France, if they pull off the upset, they're then going to be favored, too, because they're going to be at home, and they just knocked off the top team. So whoever wins this quarterfinal match, yes, is going to win the whole thing.
I tend to agree here. I love that it'd be better almost to be like a Final Four thing, a semifinal game, but quarterfinals nonetheless, I am pumped about it. So if you get a chance, on your Friday. Tune in 2 o'clock today. You won't be disappointed, I think. We'll continue to move on now. I'm going to talk something much more local. All-Star Game, to be specific. The starters have been announced, and the Astros, of course, they lead the way with 3 starters in this year's All-Star Game. I've got a question about this whole All-Star Game starter selection process, if you will. We know that the fans determine the starters for the All-Star Game, and that's how guys kind of like Springer Dinger, who they've been injured majority of the first half of the season here, and yet they become All-Star Game starters. I'm not picking on George Springer. He just happens to be the most recent guy that I can kind of akin that to. So what I want to know from you is RPO on the current format of a fan vote deciding who gets to start in the MLB All-Star Game.
Run all day long.
You like the fan voting for the starters, not just making the team, but for the starters.
I like the managers having a say-so in building the entire roster.
Right.
Okay? But as for the starters, yes, this should be the fans. Look, the All-Star Games are for the fans.
It doesn't mean anything anymore in Major League.
Right, and now that they've thankfully taken out who gets home field advantage for the World Series out of the equation for the All-Star Game, yeah, it should be. Look, here's the thing. Yeah, you're going to, okay, you can say, you're going to let the fans say who decides who gets to start the All-Star Game. How many innings is that, are those starters going to play? 2? Maybe? Right. Max? Maybe three. And then it's going to be, hey, how many guys can we get into the game? Right? So everyone deserving is going to be on there. And here's the other thing. It's a big deal for the fans because you get them to be interactive, especially through social media, okay, for Major League Baseball. And they get to have a say-so in who's going to be the starters for their respective leagues teams. That's great. Is anyone going to remember who was a starter for the All-Star Game?
No, Alex Bregman won MVP. I remember that last year.
And he wasn't a starter. Exactly. He was a reserve.
Yep.
There you go.
Fair enough. I tend to agree with you. The fan votes, when it means something, it would bother me. But now that it really is just for funsies, I'm okay with the fan vote as well. Let's wrap it up
just,
here.
You just said funsies.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up here with a little WWE news. And this isn't anything that I'm making up. I'm not trumping up anything. This is real news. It was announced yesterday that both Raw and SmackDown, the major brands for WWE, will both have new executive directors. That was a role previously held by Vince McMahon, along with his thousands of other roles that he does all himself for WWE. Taking those roles are guys Paul Heyman, he'll be in charge of Raw, and Eric Bischoff will be in charge of SmackDown. These names may be familiar to wrestling fans as they were involved in the first round of what I'm going to kind of dub the wrestling TV wars, when there was WWE versus WCW, and WCW was actually winning for a while over WWE before things fell apart for them. And we're kind of getting into the second round of those wrestling TV wars with AEW on the horizon in October. They're going to be on the Turner Network. They're run by the Khan family, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's a lot of good things for a second wrestling promotion coming up in national television. WWE seems to be maybe a little threatened here, but I don't know if I'm going to go that far. What I want to know from you is just an overall thought. RPO is giving these older guys, so to speak, with the TV wrestling war experience, is that going to help pull WWE out of the rut it's stuck in? More importantly, out of that rut, at least by the time WWE comes to Lafayette and Baton Rouge in August.
I'm going to option here.
There's a lot of experience, but
I'm going to option here.
I understand
yes,
your option.
Yes, there's a lot of experience here from back in the day in the 90s to early 2000s, and they understand how it is to feud with another wrestling outfit. That's great. How much creative control is Vince McMahon going to let them have to create compelling storylines and to kind of rebrand Raw and SmackDown and have them become more compelling television again?
Because
if they
the right
don't,
questions.
if Vince keeps meddling and doesn't allow them to get creative with those approaches, they're going to suffer. So I'll option. It all depends on Vince McMahon and how much control he wants to give up. And he's not known to giving up control.
He's not. Hopefully this isn't just one of those facade things. Like, look, we're making changes when nothing actually happens. Hopefully this is real change. We'll see.
When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll be talking to our boy Barry. Barry Hurst of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine will join us right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's sports station. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's 24 hours of sports coverage free over the air. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We started off the second hour with my rant of the week about expanding the netting at Major League Baseball ballparks. No excuse. Get it done. No time. No better time than now. And we just wrapped up RPOs with RP3, which means now we're halfway through the second hour. And it's time to welcome on our first guest of Friday's show. He is a contributing writer for Big Easy Magazine, as well as the Saints News Network. He joins us every Friday. It's our boy, Barry Hurstis. Barry, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing fine, my friend, and yourself?
I'm doing great. My first question to you, Barry, is, are you enjoying some time off? The Saints are away, but I know you continue to produce out content, but are you at least trying to get some relaxation in this week, brother, before training camp?
Oh, absolutely I am, and we got the 4th of July holiday coming up, as you know, and so I might do a little road trip. We'll see how that works out.
A little bit of a road trip. I like that. Barry, what can you tell us the latest about the Michael Thomas contract situation? There's been some reports that they're a little far off on money. He's wanting around $22 million, $23 million per year. They've offered him like $18 to $19 million per year. Where do we stand on that, and do you believe they're too far apart, or do you think that's something they can easily close the gap on?
No, I think they can close the gap on it. You know, it comes down to this. Michael Thomas just wants to be recognized as the number one wide receiver. You know, we can debate it all day. You know, is it Odell Beckham? Is it Michael Thomas? Is it Julio Jones? You know, I mean, there are several guys that you could, you know, conceivably say is the number one top, you know, caliber wide receiver in the NFL. I think it's just a matter of Michael feels like he wants to get. I think it's almost an acknowledgement thing for him. You know, I don't think it's ego driven at all. I've seen some Saints fans slightly overreact. Look, I understand. It's a lot of money. A lot of people, you know, and I've covered this last week, there's a lot of Saints fans out there who just feel like $20 million per season, or even 18, is a lot of money for a wide receiver in the NFL, and I get it, especially when you got quarterbacks, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, getting $32 million a year. I get it. It's a lot of money. But what Saints fans have to come to a realization is that we're in the year 2019. Money is different, you know, or the value or the perception of a player's worth is much different in this era than it was when, you know, guys like you and me growing up in the 1970s, 1980s watching in the NFL. It's just this sport has evolved, and so has, you know, the money that these guys make. And $20 million for a top five caliber wide receiver is actually a bargain. I know that sounds insane, but it's true. And, you know, now, and Michael's guys, to my understanding, I've been told, the one reliable source that I have for inside information for the Saints, which I feel is usually pretty accurate, 85 to 90% most of the time on the things that he tells me. And my understanding is that Michael was more than willing to compromise. So I would say that number is probably, I'm going to guess it's right at 20 per. So we'll see how it works out. I'll say this much. I will be personally stunned if Michael Thomas holds out. I just don't see that happening. I think Mickey and him and his new agent get it done. And you'll see Michael Thomas in Saints camp on the morning of July 25th. And I'll be out there covering it.
Do you believe that they get the deal done before the start of training camp, Barry?
Yes, within days. Wouldn't it be really typical Mickey Loomis fashion? They're going to take it down to, you know, within, I believe the 25th, I think, is on Wednesday. wouldn't shock me at all if they announced a deal that Monday, like 48 hours before. Because that's typical Mickey Loomis, you know. And again, remember, the Saints organization as a whole, a lot of these guys are out of town or literally gone or away from the facility right now. Only people down there right now are the Pelicans people. So, it wouldn't shock me if I think Michael Thomas might be in Southern California as we speak. So, I fully expect it to get done. If Michael Thomas holds out a training camp, it'll be a stunner for me personally.
We're talking with Barry Herstis. He covers the New Orleans Saints for Big Easy Magazine and the Saints News Network right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, you recently posted a story just a few days ago in reference to a conversation that was held on the NFL Network about Saints QB Drew Brees. Why don't you give us a little bit of the background, what was said, and why maybe people think they were throwing a little shade towards Drew Brees?
If you ever watch the NFL Network, and I don't want to make this sound like spin it as we're Saints fan base versus the national media, but there's been noticeable. I mean, you see it and you hear it everywhere on shows like Fox Sports with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, Chris Sims, another guy who's been very critical of Brees. And just there's been a lot of little stories this year about, you know, it's almost as if you and I touched on this a few weeks ago, and I'll elaborate on it a little bit more. It just seems to be, and this is just my observation. Now, you may disagree with this, but this is my observation. Because not many of the Saints beat writers, a lot of the Saints beat writers are that. They're beat writers. I consider myself kind of a dual role. I'm a beat writer for Big Easy Magazine, but I'm also an opinion columnist for Saints News Network. So I kind of like doing both. And to me personally, or any Saints fan, if you consider yourself a passionate or diehard Saints fan, you can't help but notice the sentiment out there in stories like this one that ran the other morning on Good Morning Football, where they just seem to be questioning, well, who's going to knock off New Orleans and the NFC South? Who's going to knock off Drew Brees as the best quarterback in the NFC South? And it just seems to be, ever since the Saints have lost the NFC Championship game, and I'm not talking about the game, I'm talking about the things that the events that unfolded after the NFC Championship game with the Saints and Sean Payton going to in the NFL Competition Committee in March and having the rule change where, instant replay will be reviewable now on pass interference calls. There's a sentiment out there, a growing narrative, so to speak, especially among ex-NFL players who are no longer in the sport. I'm talking about guys like Chris Sims. I'm talking about guys like Maurice Jones-Drew. And I'm talking about guys like D'Angelo Hall, who were on Good Morning Football program on the NFL Network the other morning. I don't want to say they're taking hot shots at the Saints franchise, but they make little jive comments that almost are pointedly critical of the Saints and the Saints organization. And as I explained yesterday, I didn't really put it in the article, but it's in the comment thread on Twitter if you really want to go look at it, where I'm totally honest and I tell everybody. And you and I have discussed this, I believe, maybe 2 weeks ago when I appeared on your show. There is, between the way that the NFC Championship game came to an end, and indirectly, the crazy kind of sidelight to that, with the way that the events with Anthony Davis unfolded and the Lakers and the Pelicans and the trade for Anthony Davis and sending him to the Lakers, there is a growing anti-New Orleans, anti-NOLA, whatever you want to call it, sentiment out there right now against this, not only just the Saints organization, but the Pelicans. There's just a lot, you know, I can't put my finger on it. And, you know, you might think I'm a nut, but don't take my word for it. Just observe for yourself. You don't need to take my word for it. Open your eyes, open your ears, and look around and just make the observation. And you'll catch it. You'll see it. It'll know that it'll catch your attention. And there's a segment of sports personalities within the national media, ex-players, or analysts, whatever, that the city of New Orleans, the community of New Orleans, the sports fans in New Orleans have been portrayed as whiners, crybabies, whatever little negative term you want to affix to that, because of the events of the last few months with both teams. Now, is that fair? Probably not, but hey, that's professional sports, and right now there's not a lot of people that like New Orleans right now. But I could tell you what, and as I told you, I want to say in that same conversation we had 2 weeks ago, Gail Benson is a central figure in all this because, you know, she owns both teams. She's a New Orleans native through and through, just like her husband Tom was. And as you've clearly noticed, she's not going to sit on her hands and just lay there and take the criticism. She's allowed Mickey Loomis to go all out, you know, and replenish that Saints team. I love the moves they've made in the offseason. I think the Saints are a legit Super Bowl contender, and that's why I had them ranked number 2 in my power rankings in the other article I had this week. And God bless the Pelicans. It might take them a year or two, maybe even 3. But if you and I both know that Zion Williamson kid is going to be an NBA superstar, and it would not shock me at all 3-4 years from now if we're talking about a New Orleans Pelicans basketball team that's, you know, top 5 team in the Western Conference. We'll see how that shakes out. Obviously, you got to build a team around Zion, but, you know, so I think there's great things in store for both New Orleans franchises going forward.
Well, Barry, I agree with you completely, and it's a good time to be a fan of anything coming out of New Orleans right now, especially with the professional sports teams. Appreciate you making time for us as always, brother. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your holiday, my friend, and to all your listeners as well.
That's our boy, Barry. Barry Hurstis. Had to make sure to get him on. Got the 4th of July holiday next week. Just to give you a little heads up, ladies and gentlemen, best of shows will be next Friday for RP3 and Company, the Jordy Holtberg Show, as well as Bumper to Bumper Sports. So we had to make sure to get Barry on today. Take care of that. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll wrap up hour number 2 right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. Been a tremendous show so far. Cody Schutz, I left this segment open just for you, brother. Planned
awesome.
It that way.
I appreciate that.
Planned it that way because our show is better when it has more Cody Schutz for the ladies and gentlemen out there listening. So the floor is yours, sir. Would you like to talk more Women's World Cup action? Maybe some of the isn't the men's team still in
that
tournament or whatever it may be?
We discussed the Women's World Cup.
The Copacabana Cup? Is that what the men's term?
The CONCACAF Cup. Welcome to Copacabana. It's a very similar setup to the World Cup. It's just obviously not as big as a stage. It's kind of North America. The big three for the CONCACAF is United States, Canada, and Mexico. And then it's all the other, you know, you've got Jamaica, Venezuela, Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, Panama, Curacao, those teams. Since we're talking a little soccer, yeah, I absolutely fill you in. The next game for the U.S. men's national team. I want to differentiate that. We talked about earlier. The women's national team is in the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup. They'll be playing France. That's at 2 p.m. today. The U.S. men's national team is in the quarterfinal of the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So they're both have both reached the quarterfinal portions of their respective tournaments. The men's national team won't be playing until Sunday at 7 p.m. because the Gold Cup is held in the United States, so they get prime time.
Oh, nice.
No, it's North America, so there, I think there's a most of the stadiums are in the United States. I think there maybe there's one in Mexico City, and then there's I think maybe one in Canada or two in Canada maybe, but most of them I believe are in the United States just because that's where all the stadiums are.
I see.
But I'm not as excited. The United States will be taking on Curaçao in that quarterfinal game. The U.S. started off really good in the Gold Cup. They beat Guyana 4-0. Good start. Then they beat Trinidad and Tobago. Both of them, Trinidad and Tobago, 6-0. Then this last game here, the final game of their group stage, they only defeated Panama by a score of 1-0. But Panama is a pretty good soccer-playing nation. So they got the win there to move on to the quarterfinal. Why do you ask me to talk about this if you're going to patronize me the whole time?
I do have a legit soccer question for you, though.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
No, it's legit. It's serious.
Did you know you use offsides in French is hors d'oeuvre? It's in that commercial. Have you seen that commercial?
I did have a serious question. So, but a legit question.
Mm-hmm.
The women's national team has been dominant since the breakthrough in 99.
They have the most World Cup wins. They have 3 World Cup wins. The most of all the women's nations.
They are the cream of the crop.
Yep.
They have legit stars that passing through the night sports fans know. Like,
yeah.
if you bring up Alex Morgan, they know. Or if you used it back in the day, Hope Solo or
Carly Lloyd. Carly Lloyd, I think, is the girl this year that is probably the most. Between her and Alex Morgan are probably the two girls that have the most name recognition.
So they have name recognition.
We don't have an Abby Wambach yet.
Not yet.
But that's because they're young.
But that's my point. There's name recognition. Stars have come out of the women's national team. They win World Cups. They're dominant.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a name to keep an eye out for. Rose Lavelle. She's been playing. She gets subbed out usually in midway or so through the second half. But she has got an incredible left foot. She plays kind of in the center of the field where she can distribute the ball around. A few of her touches I've seen, because she's a very young player, they get hard sometimes. And what I mean by that is when the ball's coming to her, instead of being able to trap the ball in and keep it at her feet, it gets away from her. Just and in the World Cup, if the ball gets a step and a half away from you, odds are it's getting taken. So, but she has stood out so much to me. She's got – her foot is so strong. She can kick just – the ever-living crap out of that ball. And, I mean, that's the girl I think you need to keep an eye on going into the future for the next 2 to 3 World Cups. Rose Lavelle is a name that maybe I think soccer fans are going to get used to hearing.
And she will be a star, and she will grace magazine covers and everything like that. But my serious question to you is this. It's been reported now that the women's soccer games now generate even more revenue than the men. They have the bigger stars. They have more success. They're more dominant. They are elite. Yet they don't get paid as much as the men do. Explain that to me.
That is way above my pay grade.
I know it's
a rhetorical question, but
right. They have the bigger stars, the better players, and they generate more money now. And yet they don't get paid as much. Just saying.
I'm not sure how you can explain that one away.
No, you can't. That was my point. That's why I saved it to the end. That's Cody Schutz, RP3 Soccer Talk. Been featured a lot here on RP3 and Company. Hour 2 is in the books. Hour 3 coming up. We're talking to Tyler Nunez next, right here on Acadiana Sports Station.
Live and local, we are Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. LSU All-American Skylar Green,
You know, as a young athlete growing up, you always want to do the game-winning something, the game-winning shot, game-winning catch. And I thought the biggest part for me right there, that Georgia catch, that solidified everybody seeing that LSU for real.
Ragin' Cajun hoop star Elfrid Payton.
It's exciting to be able to represent, you know, your city, you know, somewhere where you grew up at and put that jersey on. See that says New Orleans on the front of it. I think it means a lot.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company. It's time for hour number three, the final hour of the week for us here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, of course. Also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's free 24-hour coverage of sports. Free over the air, rather. Sorry. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Lit off today's show talking about Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Starters have been announced. The Astros, which you can listen to live here on 103.7 The Game always, placed three guys as starters: Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley, and Springer Dinger himself, George Springer. We also talked about not one but two former LSU Tigers will be starters in the Midsummer Classic held this year in Cleveland at Progressive Field. In addition to Alex Bregman, there's also DJ LeMahieu, who will be starting for the Yankees. He'll be the second baseman for the American League team, while Bregman will be at third. We also talked about the extremely wise decision by the University of Louisiana deciding to create fan-friendly concession prices, $1 hot dogs, $2 beers, for their athletic events. That should help drive people back to Cajun Field and the Cajun Dome. But right now, it's time for us to head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He is the acclaimed sports reporter for Tiger Ag, covering primarily the LSU men's basketball team. They had a coaches teleconference yesterday in the SEC. We'll find out what Will Wade had to say with our next guest. It is Tyler Nunes. Tyler, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We'll get to you being devastated by the news of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown having new leadership, creative leadership, because it sounds like you're still depressed by it. And we'll get to that, I assure you. Tyler, they usually do this coaches teleconference in the summer just as kind of house cleaning sort of situation. What stood out to you from the teleconference held yesterday with the SEC coaches, and particularly what stood out about Will Wade?
I think a lot of people are talking about the new proposed rule changes involving a potential extended three-point line and having the shot clock down to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound, and they all gave some pretty predictable answers. I think a lot of people are really excited about the potential shot clock change rule. It should improve the pace of the game a little bit. Coaches aren't super excited about an extended three-point line, but it's probably coming regardless, and they'll probably deal with that. Coach Will Wade put it, and he said, if they asked me, I wouldn't do it, but if they want an extended three-point line, we'll put one out there. It's not really much of an issue. Players will eventually adjust, and we'll be right back where we started. So, but Will Wade, he talked at length about his three recruits that are on campus already, and James Bishop, Charles Manning, and Trenton Wofford. He likes all of them and what they've been able to bring to the table so far. He also likes the experience on the team. As you know, four guys who initially declared for the draft came back and are going to spend another year with the Tigers, and that should provide a really solid core around those three new guys. And they still have some work to do on the recruiting trail to finish their 2019 class, but with a trip to Spain coming up and basketball season quickly approaching, I think Will Wade's happy with where they're at right now.
We're talking with Tyler Nunes of Tiger Ag right here on the Arco Equipment Hotline. How many spots do they have left to fill, and who are they trying to target, or what type of position, rather, are they trying to target for this class coming up?
Yeah, well, they're targeting pretty much exclusively JUCO guys now, and I think they have three spots. I think they have scholarships to fill. which sounds like a lot, but they can get those pretty quickly. What they really need is a big man. They need a kind of rim protector, the way that Cavell Bigby-Williams stepped into that role last season. I don't think a lot of people expected him to be the key that he was to LSU's success last season, but having a big man is really invaluable, and that's really the only piece that's missing on this roster. They've got Trenton Watford. He's going to be able to do some work in the post, but he's going to need some help down there, and a solid 6'10"-plus big man would do the job. So I have to think that that's their key target. I think they're probably looking just for someone who can fill space in that role and play good defense.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, how did Coach Wade sound? Did he sound happy? Did he sound relieved? Did he sound annoyed having to answer reporters' questions, and particularly any question you asked? How did Wade sound on the conference call?
No, Will Wade was Will Wade. He sounded like himself again, which is pretty par for the course. He doesn't usually get flustered, at least not in front of the cameras or the recorder. He sounded like himself. I didn't ask him anything too imposing. Bill Armstrong is up for a contract extension today at LSU's Board of Supervisors meeting, so I wanted his thoughts on that. And he gave me a pretty solid answer about how Bill Armstrong is a really hard worker who has no ego. So you can read the transcript of the entire teleconference on TigerRag.com, by the way. Let me put that little plug in there. He seemed like himself. Right now, it doesn't really seem like anything's weighing on him. I know some stuff probably is. The NCAA said they're coming out with some indictments over the next couple weeks, and I'm sure everyone has their eye on that, but they kind of have to act as if it's not going on, just kind of business as usual, because if they let this whole thing distract them, then that's when things are really going to go off the rails.
I'm talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. So what's next for the LSU men's basketball team? The Spain trip, when is that coming up, and when do they want to get these other JUCO guys in, and is there a deadline with that, Tyler?
I think they have through the summer, and I think they go to as far as recruiting goes, I think they have through the summer. I'm not exactly when the deadline is, but they have time. I think until class enrollment starts, and then as far as the Spain trip goes, I believe that's in August. If not, it's in early September, and that's just kind of a fun treat for the guys. I think you only get one every 4 years, one international trip every 4 years. And I think Spain's a really good spot, but if you don't realize, Spain's kind of a basketball hotbed in Europe. A lot of great players come out of there, tons of NBA talent, and they have a lot of good professional teams that LSU will get some good work against. So I think that's a good trip for them.
And Tyler, will it be a good trip for you? Have you gone ahead and booked your flight to Spain?
No, I'm not going to Spain, no.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, let's switch over to football. Recruiting has been absolutely insane this month for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Guys coming and going, just a bevy of activity. What's the latest? What can you tell us?
As far as recruiting, this week's actually been relatively quiet. So that's been kind of good news for me, because we're getting our football preview together, and it's been minimal distractions this week as far as that goes. But the football team does have a lot of going on today. As I mentioned that earlier about the Board of Supervisors meeting, Steven Zminger is getting a one-year extension. Tommy Moffitt is getting a two-year extension. Greg McMahon and there's another one in there. Craig. Craig is also getting an extension and a raise. So they got four coaches on the bevy, on the agenda, ready to basically secure their immediate future with the LSU Tigers, and I think that's big news. I think that's, you know, taking care of some business before the season starts, and it's always good to have those coaches on board and happy. So that's what's going to be going on today. Also, the Manning Passing Academy starts today. I know you're going to be heading your way over there, so I'm sure a lot of people are curious what Joe Burrow is going to have to say today. I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make it, because I will be at the Board of Supervisors meeting, but I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of there.
Talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, heading into this season, the hype is already building for the LSU football team. A lot of the preseason publications have already hit the shelves, so to speak. A lot of top five love, a lot of top 10 love for the Tigers. How do you think
they will be able to handle that? Will they do the same thing as they did last year when all the hype coming into the season was negative? They just going to block it out?
Yeah, you got to block out the noise.
That was a pretty good coach O impression. Okay, continue.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the message stays the same. I think you got to block out the noise, whether it's good news or bad news, positive or negative. I think that because the guys on the field kind of have to ignore everything we say, right? Like, we're not writing for them. We're writing for the general public. And I never take offense whenever a coach says they're not reading our stuff, because they probably shouldn't be to a certain extent. I'm sure what they need to know leaks to their ears, and that's about it. And, I know it seems impossible for players to kind of stay off social media and read well. We're saying, but that really is kind of the best course to take. If you focus on your next opponent, whoever that may be, and it's really hard to do that when you're worried about what we're talking about.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Ag here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, part of that hype about this team is obviously how they finish, but also the addition on offense of the coaching staff. Lots of buzz about Brady. He's a young, dynamic coach. What's been the reaction so far through spring ball, not from the other coaches, but maybe from the players, about the former Saints assistant joining the staff?
Oh, well, through spring practice, they loved him. We finally got to talk to Joe Brady himself on Monday during the last off of LSU's coaches caravan, and I see why. He's a very charismatic guy, and he's very confident in the system that he's bringing to LSU. Basically, the way it's worked is he's basically thrown stuff against the wall at Stevensminger, and Stevensminger's picked what he likes and what stuck, and that's kind of how they're moving the offense forward, I think. And I think that, especially position players, skill players, like wide receivers, running backs, even tight ends, they're excited because they're going to have a lot more to do in this system. He said he likes five-man coverage more than a pack tight offensive line. So I think that the players like him because he's given them stuff to do. And the wide receivers are going to probably love this guy because his main goal is to get them in space with their speed and let them do what they do best. So if it works out, it's going to be a fun season. I don't want people to get in too excited. There's probably going to be a transition process where things don't work exactly the way we expected to, but it should be a lot more fun to watch this season, that's for sure.
Talking with Tyler Nunez here of Tiger Rag right on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tyler, we're going to let you go with this question. I'm going to let producer extraordinaire and host of the 20 by 20 podcast, Cody Schutz, ask you the last question of this segment, my friend, heading into the 4th of July holiday. We won't be able to talk to you next week because of the holiday. So I wanted Cody to make sure to get this in with you right now, my friend.
Tyler, I can't imagine you have any clue what this question could be about.
Yeah, I have no idea. You're blindsiding me here.
Right, but obviously we're talking about – we brought it up earlier in the show, so people are listening. Okay. They're not completely out of the loop on this, but you know and I know Raw and SmackDown now both have new executive directors, and I use correct. The word new in quotes because they're new old guys. We've got Paul Heyman running Raw, Eric Bischoff running SmackDown. They still both answer to Vince McMahon. But the bottom line is, correct. This is a role that Vince McMahon occupied himself for both shows. So regardless of mm-hmm. how you slice it, he is delegating some of the responsibility out to guys with very good experience. Just your overall mm-hmm. thoughts, do you really think this is going to be what brings WWE out of this terrible rut they seem to be stuck in?
You know what? I was talking about this with a friend the other day. I'm not exactly convinced that this is the answer because we've got a market flooded with a bunch of really young guys with really new and exciting ideas. And I'm not really sure that going back to the old guard is the answer to those questions and those problems that they have presented with WWE. That said, Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff are both proven and experienced talents with very creative minds. I have no doubt that they're going to do their best. It also depends on how hands-on Vince is going to be with his quote-unquote new role.
if he's still looking at everything. So we'll see. But we'll see. I'm intrigued, to say the very least, especially with Eric Bischoff. I love Paul Heyman, but Paul Heyman's had a hand in creative for a long time now. Eric Bischoff being back in the fold is really interesting to me. But we'll see. I am intrigued. I will be looking forward to seeing what they do with the new product, especially Eric Bischoff over in SmackDown as they move to Fox. But yeah, I'm not exactly convinced that this is the answer, but it's an interesting move.
Tyler, appreciate you making time for us, as always, brother. Enjoy this weekend and enjoy the 4th of July holiday weekend next week, and we'll have you on after that, my friend.
Sounds good. I hope my answer sufficed.
That's the best answer I've gotten from anybody yet, because all we want as WWE fans is a little bit of hope, and I think this kind of gives us that. But regardless, hope or not, AEW is still a thing, so we'll be all right.
Yeah, for sure. AEW, New Japan, there's plenty of good wrestling out there.
Tyler, appreciate you, man.
Yep.
It's Tyler Nunes, Tiger Rag, joining us. We got him with the wrestling. Got him with the wrestling. Had to do it.
You
got to
love when you ask a reporter or a writer a question. He has this well-thought-out answer, and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But it is, I didn't think of it that way, this whole WWE, AEW thing with Heyman and Bischoff coming in. It really is now a battle of the old guys or the old guard, the way wrestling used to be, to the way it seems wrestling is going. It'll be interesting to watch this hash itself out over the upcoming years. Because this will take years to resolve itself.
We got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Houston Astros baseball when we get back here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's 24-hour sports coverage free over the air. You can also find us on LUS Fiber, 133 and 1133 in high definition. Coming up, interview with Mike Gegenheimer of HOMA today. He's going to help us preview the Manning Passing Academy, which is being held down there in the HOMA Thibodeau area at Nichols. It's a big deal. Hundreds upon hundreds of quarterbacks or wannabe quarterbacks, junior high school level kids go to take part in it. It also features dozens and dozens of the nation's best quarterbacks. Tua is going to be there. Joe Burrow is going to be there, among some of the other big stars. Justin McMillan from Tulane will be there as well. So we'll talk all about that at 8:32. Right now, though, we'll talk a little Houston Astros baseball. We start off today talking positive about the Stros. Three starters in the All-Star game, but they keep losing games. They just dropped a series to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are under 500. It's yet another series loss to a team below 500. Yesterday wasn't even close. Day baseball, you heard it right here on 103.7 The Game. They lost 10-0 to a team that has 41 losses. I know they're getting healthy, and they're still a 50-win team, 50-32 overall. I get that. They're welcome home, the Mariners, for a three-game set starting today. You can listen to that live right here on 103.7 The Game, by the way. Astro launch will start at 6:30. First pitch, 7:10. Astro launch will be on tomorrow at Saturday, 6:30. First pitch, 7:15. And then we'll close things out on Sunday. You can listen to the whole three-game series right here on 103.7 The Game. I also understand that they're getting healthy at the right time. Jose Altuve's now back in the lineup. George Springer's back in the lineup. They'll get Carlos Carrera back after the All-Star break. And the fact that this team won 50 games without having a solid four-man rotation in the pitching staff. They have Verlander, they have Gerrit Cole, and then they have guys that you can't really trust. And the bullpen's been a little shaky. Yesterday, they gave up 10 runs on 14 hits to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they didn't hit the ball very well. Altuve starting to come back to form. That was one of the positives from yesterday's game. He went 2-for-4. That's his best performance so far at the plate. Everyone else had kind of a subpar game except for Gurriel, who also went 2-for-4. But Brad Peacock went only 3 innings and gave up 6 runs on 7 hits. He's supposed to be your number three, your number four. Right now, it's Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and it looks like Wade Miley's your three. Now, when it comes postseason time, you only need three guys, right? That's all you really need. But it'd be helpful if you could have a fourth. Maybe you move Peacock to the bullpen if you can. Maybe they make a trade at the deadline after all. Maybe they go after one of those pitchers, maybe from the Blue Jays, or maybe go get Bumgarner from the Giants because they need another arm. Because if you can move Peacock and have him and McHugh on the back end, that can help solidify the bullpen. And then you could have four legit starting pitchers because you're going to need them. Yeah, you can get away with having three in the postseason, but you definitely need to get a fourth. So we'll see. We'll see if the Astros, who've now have lost eight of their last 10, can turn things around and get it together. Got time for a huge announcement. And boy, let me tell you, I'm excited for this one personally. Get the feeling the good brother Ben Love is too. Coming early next week, 103.7 The Game will have not one but two live remote broadcasts from the new Billy's Boudin and Cracklins in Cairn Crow, located right off Pont-a-Mouton exit on I-49. RP3 and company will be live from the new Billy's in Cairn Crow this coming Monday, July the 1st, from 6 to 9. And then Bumper to Bumper Sports will be there the very next day on Tuesday from 4 to 7. So stop by on your way to work Monday and on your way home Tuesday and get some tasty Billy's Boudin, plus all the swag we'll be giving out from Acadiana's Sports Station 103.7 The Game. What a delicious way to kickstart the month of July. Again, it's all going down at the newly opened Billy's Boudin and Cracklins, exit 2, right off of I-49.
Can't wait for that. I'm excited. I know I will have to be...
I know you've already put in requests
right,
to make sure to come back to the studio after the live remote. And you've already given me an order. Raymond, I need this,
well,
and this.
You know to just bring home as much crackling as they'll let you take. Bring back as much of that as you can.
In the Boudin.
And you know, regular Boudin is great, but get me a couple of those Pepper Jack Boudin wraps. They look like the egg roll, but it's the Boudin with the Pepper Jack cheese inside. Mm. Oh my goodness.
I feel like I'll be taking a lot of requests from people.
No, don't worry about the people.
Just you.
Just me. You. Me is who you should be concerned with.
I'll take care of my wife, who's already put in a request, and then I'll take care of you.
Okay.
So.
Deal. Can't wait. Next Monday. Book it.
Oh, man. We got to hit a break. Final half hour of the show and of the week's coming up. Interview with Mike Gegenheimer, home of today, up next, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Lafayette. It's time now for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He covers the Nichols Colonels athletic programs as well as all high schools for the home of today. It's the one and only Mike Gegenheimer. Mike, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Mike, I appreciate you making some time for us. This weekend is extremely important down there in your neck of the woods. Of course, it is the Manning Passing Academy, the 24th edition of this great camp, which is spearheaded by Archie Manning, Eli, Peyton, and I guess Cooper gets thrown in there too. What can you tell us about the level of excitement for this year's camp down there in the community, the 24th version of the camp?
One thing I can definitely tell you is, first of all, Cooper has a very big role with this. This is a full Manning effort down here. And they even got the grandson, one of Cooper's oldest boys, is now a camper there as well. So they've got three generations of Mannings down there. But the excitement is just, it's always such a big deal. I mean, this is one of the biggest events the city holds. The campus holds every single year, and I'm down there today for registration, and you could see pretty much the entire athletic department. Athletic Director Matt Roan was out there helping out. I believe he's on the board. You know, the mayor was talking about this the other day. I mean, everyone's just excited to have this on here. I think Nichols President Jay Clune really said it best when he said that there's so many universities in Louisiana, public institutions But Nichols is really the only one that isn't anywhere close to an interstate. You know, people who are passing through don't see Nichols, and it's a small campus, and no one knows where Thibodeau is. But once they get people down here and they get people on campus, they really see what this area has to offer, and they just absolutely love it. And camps like this, and especially the Manning Academy, give so much needed attention to this area that everyone just goes absolutely all out. And that's the reason this camp has come back for, I think it's 15, 16 years that they've gone to Nichols now. And as for the campers who are arriving, you know, I got there right before they opened the doors, and there were, you know, just hundreds and hundreds of kids out there waiting in line, and just what I can only describe as an intense Louisiana summer. You know what I'm talking about there. And, I mean, they're waiting to bust in the doors and get ready to go. They have about 1,200 campers this year, which is pretty much the same they've had the past few years. Archie said that's kind of pretty much their max numbers. I think it's like 125 coaches, 45 of the best college players in the country coming here to help out, and everyone's just ready to go.
We're on the ARCO Equipment Hotline with Mike Gegenheimer of the Houma Today. Mike, I know that the camp started, had very humble beginnings, and it's just grown and grown and grown into a marquee event that it now has become. So much so that people have asked over the years, well, when is it going to leave the Houma Thibodeau area? When's it going to go somewhere bigger like Baton Rouge or maybe down to New Orleans or elsewhere? And yet the Mannings have always stood firm in keeping it there. Why is that, and why has that area become the home for this camp, and it seems like such a good fit?
Yeah, I really don't see them leaving anytime soon, especially at least for to go somewhere else. I mean, this event started at Tulane, you know, a quarter of a century ago. It was in Hammond for a little bit, and then they really just found their home here, and I think Nichols gives them everything they really want. What a lot of people don't realize is just last week, Nichols also hosts the Pete Ginkins lineman camp, and that has these pro coaches, you know, the Carl Dunbar with the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive line coach there, Ryan Nielsen from the Saints, was down here. Kansas City had their guy down here. You know, Nichols is just a home for these camps because, you know, the school and the city really welcomes them. They want them here, and they will go all out to put them here. And what really can't be underestimated here is, or overstated here is that Nichols has the space. For those who haven't been around here, I mean, they just have these massive fields that sit right next to campus. That basically, they're never going to do anything with it. They're never going to expand into it because they know that they need skills for the Manning Academy. They know how important this is. I believe it was 2013, I believe, was when Bobby Jindal made a surprise appearance back when he was still governor at the Manning Academy to give, I think it was $1.2 million. They gave a pretty large chunk of money to Nichols just for the upkeep and management of these fields to make sure the Manning Academy stayed. And, I mean, everyone realizes how important this event is. And when you talk to the Mannings, that definitely doesn't go beyond them. They know exactly what this is, and I think they appreciate that.
We're talking with Mike Gegenheimer of Houma Today here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Mike, I looked at the list of counselors, which are always current college quarterbacks, and my friend, it is a star-studded list of counselors that are in town this week for the Manning Passing Academy. What can you tell the listeners? Who's going to be in town? Who's going to be helping out coaching these young men out there on the field?
Oh, yeah, this has become such a huge event. I can tell you as a sports reporter myself, I mean, you got guys coming from all across the country. ESPN sends people. I know Sports Illustrated had Roz Dellinger here last year. I'm not sure if they'll have someone here this year as well. But, I mean, and that's because, like you said, it's just an absolute who's who of the best arms in college football. I got the list right here. You got Ian Book from Notre Dame, Arkansas, Southern Cal, Jake Fromm from Georgia was there last year.
He's back this year. Joe Burrow from LSU, of course. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, of course, is going to be there. A lot of people are excited to see him. I don't believe Alabama sent anyone last year when him and Jalen Hurts were in that competition. And then, of course, Chase Forcade, who's the local hometown hero, is making his third and final appearance at the Manning Academy. He kind of becomes the man down here with all of his records, and it's his hometown and everything like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's such an honor to be chosen here. You know, this is a thing where when guys go into the draft, it's mentioned that they were selected to be a counselor here. This is a significant thing. Russell Wilson, I believe they had a couple first round picks this past year. You know, people notice when you get selected for the Manning Academy, and it's something these guys take pride in.
Mike, tell us a little bit about the interaction. I know the kids, the college quarterbacks are there to help the young kids that are there taking part in the camp, the junior high kids, the high school kids, and the Mannings are part of that as well. But what kind of one-on-one interaction do the college quarterbacks get to have from the Mannings? Is there special time carved out for that as well if you're a counselor?
If I'm understanding you right, their focus is on the kids. Listen, Archie and the Mannings, they do this because they want to help out the kids. And I do think it's neat for these guys to get to, you know, to meet them. I know in past, Peyton has kind of been back and forth doing some of his whole things. I don't know if he actually runs the group. Archie's just constantly running around, organizing everything. I talked to him the other day, and he used to run a group, but now he just wants to stay in the golf cart, you know, keep cool and everything like that. I know Eli has been very hands-on. He actually started as a camper back when this thing started up at Tulane, so back when he was at Newman. But Mannings are just very involved in everything. I'm sure Archie, he talks to everyone constantly about, you know, expectations and what they want out of these guys. So I think that's probably the most valuable thing, is they really get to see what they mean to these kids. And that's probably what these guys get out of it more than anything.
We're talking with Mike Gigenheimer of the Home of Today here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Mike, you mentioned one of the young men I wanted to ask you about, and that's Forcade, the Colonel star. What does this whole weekend mean to him? He's now going to be part of it for a third time. He's the hometown kid there. He represents the university. And there he is again, spending days with the Mannings as well as some of the top-level quarterbacks in the nation. What does this whole thing mean to him this year?
You know, it's funny how, you talk to these guys who are coming, these just Heisman candidates and national champion winners and all this stuff. He's such high-profile guys. And you talk to them, and they all talk about how Chase is the man around here. You know, they all go out. A lot of them will go out during their time downtown here, and one of the bars has a giant mural of Chase Forcade in it, throwing around
that.
And stuff like that. Chase is a huge deal in this community, you know, all-time leading passer. He's led them to back-to-back postseasons in the FCS playoffs, won a playoff game for the first time in 40-something years. Last year, won a conference championship for the first time since 2005. You know, Chase just is the man in town. And when you talk to him, he really doesn't want that. You know, he very much is a humble guy, a team guy, and he just wants to win. And that's what he's trying to do this year. Is Nichols has really just built up their brand and done so much. And him and a guy like Sully Wage, Evan Barron, these guys just want to go out as winners, and you know, they want to make that run and show that Nichols isn't just a 1-2 year fluke. And I think things like this Manning camp and everything like that for Trace really kind of boosts his confidence and shows that he is a good quarterback. I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, if Trace is a couple inches taller, maybe he's not at Nichols, maybe he's, you know, at an LSU or a bigger school, you this guy is a good athlete and a good quarterback and a great leader and just a good guy. So, he's really everything Nichols could ask for and everything the Thibodeau community could ask for.
We're talking with Mike Gegenheimer of the Houma today right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Mike, we'll wrap it up with this. What are you looking forward to the most? Obviously, today, Friday, is the media availability. Here in a few hours, you get to have the one-on-ones with the Mannings and some of the camp counselors. And then Saturday, there's no media availability, but you can watch some of the practice sessions and everything. That's when the photographers can come out traditionally. So what are you looking forward to this weekend?
I mean, me personally, it's that media session where you got just a couple dozen of these guys all in a room, and it's just a constant hum of people shuffling around and jostling for space. And I mean, that's just one of the funnest parts of my job is being in this room with these huge names, these really important guys who are going to go on to have these great careers. And the campers and stuff go to these camps because they want to meet these guys. They want to learn what these guys have to say and everything. And, I'm kind of the same way. I want to go because I want to see these guys. And, I want to hear what they have to say about the opportunity to be here and the upcoming season and, all that stuff. And that is a pretty neat. We get, I think, about 25 minutes or so. And, you pack in as much as you possibly can in that 25 minutes. And it's an exciting time, so.
Well, Mike, tell the listeners what's coming to your byline here at the Houma today in the next few days.
Well, of course, we'll have just a absolute ton of Manning coverage, profiles on most of the big name guys and good stories. We'll obviously do a big story on Chase, this kind of being his last go around here, as we will pretty much throughout the rest of the season. Paris also says he keep an eye out. Trevon Reed is kind of a local hero. Some people may remember from Auburn, played in the NFL for a little bit. He is doing a charity game this weekend, so we'll have coverage from that. So he's always got a bunch of celebrities and athletes and stuff who make it out there. So that should be another pretty exciting one. The rest is pretty much just Manning Academy until we get into camp. So.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking some time out for us on this busy Friday morning, brother. But get some rest before you have to head out to the stadium and enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That's Mike Gegenheimer of the Houma today. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike_Geggs, G-E-G-S. I recommend doing so. He covers Nichols and high schools down there in that neck of the woods better than anyone. We got to hit a break here on RP3 and Company, but we'll be back after this on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios by Lafayette Roofing. It's been a tremendous show. I want to take a moment to thank our guest today. Big shout out to Barry Hurstis, even though the Saints may be on vacation. Barry is not taking any time off. He helped break down all things the Houdats for us. Our boy Barry from the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. Also want to take time out to thank Tyler Nunez from Tiger Rag, breaking down all things LSU men's basketball, including Will Wade and his comments from yesterday's teleconference. And also want to thank Mike Gegenheimer of the Houma today, giving us a little bit of a taste of what the Manning Passing Academy is all about. That's going on currently, right now, and throughout this weekend. Also, want to take a moment here. Quick programming reminder today. Uncle Jordy will be back on there. The Jordy Holberg Show returns. It'll be on from 2 to 4 today. Then the good brother Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports, will be live from Rufino's on the River. That'll be from 4 to 6:30. Ben's going to take you up right into Astro Launch. That's right. Three-game set. Astros Mariners begins today. Astro Launch at 6:30. First pitch at 7:10. And that'll go through the weekend. 6:30. Astro Launch on Saturday, first pitch 7:15, and then the series will wrap up on Sunday with Mariners at Astros pregame 12:35, first pitch at 1:10. You can listen to all three games live of the Houston Astros this weekend right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the Houston Astros. Also, just a reminder to make sure to tune in Monday because it's going to be a special show.
I'll be broadcasting live from the new Billy's Boudin in Cracklands, right down the road in Cairn Crow, located right off of Exit 1, Pont de Mouton, there off of I-49. I'll be live from 6 to 9 on Monday, and then the good brother Ben Love and Bumper Sports will be there the very next day on Tuesday from 4 to 7. So make sure to stop by on your way to work on Monday. Come say hi to your boy. I'll be there broadcasting RP3 and Company live from Billy's Boudin, its new location right there in Cairn Crow. Everyone, please, also a reminder, have a safe weekend. I know 4th of July is coming up next week. A lot of people are starting their summer vacations, but y'all just be safe out there. Don't be silly, okay? Just be safe out there this weekend. And also, once again, we talked about it earlier in the show, Cody and I, about the decision by UL and Dr. Brian Maggard to have those fan-friendly concession prices there at Cajun Field and their other facilities. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is an absolute tremendous idea. I can't tell you how much that is. Look, it's a good stadium. I know they want to do some renovations to it to make it even more dynamic. I get that, and make it on the same level as they have with the Cajun Dome, right? And all the renovations that went there and that made that state of the art and one of the best places to see a concert or a basketball game. And they've done a tremendous job with the Teague in Russo Park, and that's now a palace. And the softball facility, Lampson Park, is an absolute gem of a park. And so Cajun Field still needs a little help to get there. I get that. But there's no reason why you shouldn't be going out to support the Raging Cajuns and go out to Cajun Field this fall. I mean, this just gives you, there's no other reason now, okay? Coach Billy Napier has done a tremendous job of changing the culture here with the Raging Cajun football program. It's all about changing the culture. It's all about recruiting high-character guys. And this is what they're doing. You don't hear about the Cajuns in the police report anymore. You don't hear about the off-the-field issues. They're running the program the right way, Billy Napier and his entire staff, okay? And on top of that, they had a winning year last year, a surprising winning year in his first year. They win their divisional title. They play for the conference championship game, and they get back to a bowl game. And I know for Coach Napier and his staff, they fell short of expectations by not winning the conference title and also not winning that bowl game against Tulane. But it's a foundation for something great to come, and they're building something at UL. So this just gives you no more excuses not to come out and support the football team in the fall. You get $1 hot dogs, you get $2 beers, you can have a good time with your boys, or you can have a good time bringing out the family. It's inexpensive way to spend family time together or hang out with your friends and support your local university's athletic teams. No more excuses not to be out there supporting the Raging Cajuns moving forward. I know that's a little bonus rant to end the weekend, but I just had to say it. Want to thank Cody Schutz for doing a tremendous job, as always, on the ones and twos. You guys have a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday live. You're listening to 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's Sports Station.